Our scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel according to John. Turn to John 14. We read from verse 15 to the end of the chapter. John 14, beginning at verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. That far we read, and God's holy inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. Treating those things that are necessary for a Christian to believe, and then to summarize the confession that we make in the Apostles' Creed, we must believe in God the Father and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, and in the Holy Ghost. But our confession must not simply be an abstract confession. It's not just a confession that there is a Father and that the Son of the Father exists, and that the Holy Ghost exists, but our confession must be a personal confession. When we confess the truth concerning God the Father and creation, we need to see that God the Father is our Creator. When we confess God the Son as a Redeemer, we must not see Him simply in the abstract as a Redeemer of others, but as my Redeemer. And as we speak of God the Holy Spirit and sanctification, we must see that He is our, my sanctifier, the one who sanctifies me. We find all those three persons of the Trinity mentioned in the passage that we read, where Jesus is speaking to His disciples before He went to the cross. There we find God the Son, Jesus Christ, speaking to His disciples that He is going to pray to the Father. The first person of the Trinity. The second person of the Trinity praying will pray to the first person of the Trinity, and He will ask Him to send another Comforter. He will send the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. God gives to His people the Spirit of truth. And through the Spirit of truth, and this is why Jesus prayed for Him, He said He would, and He certainly does, even as we speak, He is praying to the Father that He would send forth the Spirit of truth. Through the Spirit of truth, we enjoy all the benefits of salvation. The salvation that Jesus Christ Himself earned for us on the cross. So we want to consider the truth concerning the Spirit. And let's note, under that theme, the Spirit of truth given. Let's first note His identity. Who is that Spirit of truth? Secondly, His work. What is it that the Spirit of truth does? And lastly, God of the Spirit of truth. There shouldn't be any doubt in our minds, beloved, that the Spirit whom Jesus promised to send is truly God. If we want to have comfort in having the Spirit, we ought to know that He is truly God. Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh, was speaking to His disciples, telling him that He was going to leave. Emmanuel, God with us, was going to leave. He was going to go to His Father. And the disciples, no doubt, wondered what that would mean for themselves. Now, Jesus is leaving. Would they now be alone to fend for themselves in this world? To have to bring the truth to the world in their own strength? To live for God in their own strength? Would they be orphans, as it were? Having to fend for themselves without God's help? That would be a question that was facing the disciples when Jesus told them He was going away. And do we not, beloved, sometimes fall into the same kind of thinking? We imagine that God has left us to fend for ourselves. And that's especially true when things become difficult. Then we wonder, has God forgotten me? Does He really care about me? Has He left me all to myself? Well, Jesus wants His disciples, and He wants us to know as well, that He is always with us. He's not with us, of course, in the limited sense that Jesus was with His disciples when He was on the earth. Then Jesus, in His human nature, was with them, but He was limited. He could only be in one place as regards His human nature, only in one place at one time. But now, He is with us in a much better way. He is with us by means of His Spirit. Jesus says to His disciples, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And there literally, when he says, I will not leave you comfortless, literally he says, I will not leave you orphans. That's the word in the Greek. We get our very word orphans from that word. I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you to yourselves. I will come to you. Well, Jesus was not just promising a power to be with the disciples in the church, but he promised himself to be with his disciples. God himself will be with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. If we want comfort in the midst of this valley of tears, beloved, we ought to know that God himself is with us. The Holy Spirit is God and he is with us. Amazing that so many today would deny that the Holy Spirit is God when Scripture teaches it so evidently. We have to know that too. Scripture is clear about the teaching of the Holy Spirit being God. Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira lied to Peter, Peter calls the Spirit God, because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is God. Acts chapter 5, verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. First he says, why have you lied against the Holy Ghost? And then he says, you have lied against God. Not only that, Scripture puts the Holy Spirit on equal footing with God the Son and God the Father in the baptism formula. Go ye therefore and baptize, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, the singular name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Equal footing, because they all are persons in the Godhead. And still more, the Holy Ghost is described throughout Scripture. We don't have time to speak of all the references where he is given divine properties. For example, Psalm 139, whither shall I go from thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? The Holy Spirit is everywhere present because he is divine. So many other passages teach and prove that the Holy Spirit is truly God. So when Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, he was promising God himself in the third person of the Trinity. And that is, he gives us the beginning of our inheritance. He promises to give the beginning of our inheritance, that blessed inheritance. And then we look forward to the fullness of that inheritance when God takes us to glory. But now we have the beginning. And when we have the beginning, that Spirit abides with us forever. He is given to us now in this life, but he will abide with us. And he will also be with us in glory. I think sometimes we forget that. Now, I know we do. We forget that the Spirit abides with us forever. We doubt, we sinfully doubt that the Spirit abides with us. in the midst of our difficulties in this world, when we are tempted, when we are sorely tried, we forget that Jesus promised He will abide with you forever. We need to remind ourselves of that. When Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit, then He didn't promise merely to send an impersonal power, but the person of the Spirit. The third person of the Trinity. Jesus doesn't call the Spirit an it. I will send it to you. But He says that He is a He. He shall teach you. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. The Holy Spirit, as a personal being, cares about His people. A power, an impersonal power, doesn't care about anything. A person is able to care. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He cares for His people. He who is equally eternal with the Father and the Son, who has existed from eternity together with the Father and the Son forever and ever, He is also equally caring. He is equally loving towards His people. He is equally faithful with the Father and the Son. Jesus Christ promised the third person of the Trinity. What a comfort to know that the Holy Spirit comes to us in this valley of tears and cares for His people. Jesus makes the point when He speaks to His disciples of calling the Spirit by this name, the Spirit of Truth. And Jesus calls Him that because the Spirit is truth in and of Himself, in the same way that we say God is love, and therefore He is and manifests perfect love. We say God is light because in Him there is no darkness at all. He is perfect light. And so also we say the Spirit is truth, and therefore He manifests perfect truth. There's not an ounce of falsehood in anything that the Holy Spirit reveals. Everything that the Spirit reveals is absolute and pure truth. He is the perfect source of truth. He is that. He is that perfect source of truth because He has a perfect understanding of all things. He has a perfect understanding of the truth. The Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2, speaks of Him searching the deep things. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit makes a thorough search into the deep and hidden mysteries of God. He knows those things. He's able to make such a search because He is God Himself, the third person of the Trinity. He knows those truths, and therefore, who better qualified to show us the truth concerning our salvation than the Spirit of God. And what truth does the Spirit reveal to us? John 14:26 speaks of that Spirit, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things. That's not talking about all things in the absolute sense, every single piece of knowledge, but all things as regards our salvation. He will bring all things, he says, to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you, speaking to the apostles. But the Comforter, Jesus calls him the Comforter. Well, the inspired John, when he writes this, uses a significant word for comforter that literally comes from the word that means one who appears beside, one who comes to the side of, and the idea being one who comes to the aid of another. Other translations use the word helper. We could use the one who strengthens. That's what the Spirit does. He helps. He strengthens. He cheers us in the midst of the miseries of this world. How does the Comforter strengthen and cheer us in the midst of the storms of life? By His teaching. Jesus says, He shall teach you all things. One way, by His teaching. Certainly, there's other ways as well. But by His teaching, Jesus says, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Comforter is therefore a teacher. And what does He teach? He teaches the truth of salvation. The Spirit of truth reveals the truth. Is that not what the Spirit has been doing throughout the ages? The Spirit, when He brought the message of God to His people through the prophets, He was revealing the truth. And when the Holy Spirit inspired Holy Scriptures, He was revealing the truth about our salvation. That's what the Spirit is, the revealer of truth, among other things. But now, beloved, the Holy Spirit doesn't simply reveal the truth and say, there's the Scriptures, now go figure it out for yourself, expecting us to understand the Gospel by our own wisdom. He doesn't do that. But He brings us that truth, and then He causes us to understand that truth. He regenerates us. He gives us new life so that we become partakers of Christ and all of His benefits. He gives to us faith so that when we read the promises of God's Word, we believe those things. That's the work of the Spirit in our hearts. We never would believe those things if the Spirit did not open our eyes. Gives us faith to understand spiritual things spiritually. And then He causes us to grow in that truth. He doesn't leave us stagnant with only the smallest amount of truth, but He continues to reveal the truth to us. And so Jesus says later in John 16, verse 13, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you. It's not just that all of a sudden everything will appear and they'll know everything, but He will guide you into all truth. Now that applies especially to the church, but it also applies to individuals. The Spirit guides us. So the Spirit of truth is our teacher. And as the Spirit of truth reveals the truth concerning our salvation, we cannot but help be comforted. Our comfort is not just a mystical feeling. Our comfort comes through the knowledge of the truth. Especially the knowledge of our salvation in Jesus Christ. How will we have comfort in the midst of this world, knowing that we deserve to be cast into hell? How will we have comfort? Now, to give a physical analogy, how will you have comfort if you are on the Titanic and you know the Titanic is sinking? Will you have comfort in the playing of a music band while the ship is sinking? That's not going to give comfort. You'll have comfort if you know there is a lifeboat and that you are able to get in that lifeboat. How are we to have comfort in the midst of this world when we know we deserve the torments of hell? How will we have comfort in the midst of the miseries of this life, not in the insignificant pleasures of this physical life, but knowing that we have salvation in Jesus Christ? That's what the Comforter reveals to us. The truth not only of Scripture, not only showing us that it is the truth, but showing us that it is the truth for us personally. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And so our comfort is not just that we are saved, although there is comfort in knowing we are saved, but not just that we are saved now. There are those who teach, yes, you might be saved now. God promises salvation to every one of you. Some teach that. If you meet certain conditions. So you find churches that say God promises salvation to every baptized child of believers. The Spirit, they say, speaks words of comfort to them. God promises you salvation. And then they take that comfort away when they say, but you have to meet certain conditions. Because if you don't, then you will go lost. But where's the comfort in that? If now it's up to me to make sure that I save myself, if I might fall away any moment, how will I have comfort? Then I stand in terror, always wondering, have I done enough? What if tomorrow something comes up? But that's not the comfort of the Spirit of truth, beloved. The Spirit convinces us that no one, that's what Jesus says, John chapter 10, we won't turn there, no one shall snatch us out of His hand. Our salvation, when He grants that salvation is certain. And He convinces us then that we will be glorified together with Christ. That's what He said in Romans 8. We will be glorified together with Christ, but don't be surprised. If we will be glorified together with Christ, don't be surprised that we also must suffer as Christ suffered. Not suffer the atoning death, but suffer in this world for righteousness' sake. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. How is our glory guaranteed? Because the Spirit, beloved, doesn't come temporarily. The Spirit doesn't come and then, well, maybe He stays and maybe He doesn't. What does Jesus say? John 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father and He shall give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. That's what Jesus says. When the Spirit comes, He abides forever. And He will guide us then all the way to our inheritance. How is it that the Spirit of truth comes to us and abides forever? Is it for something in ourselves that He sees that, well, this person's more worthy, so I'll come and abide with him? No, not because we have earned those blessings of the Spirit ourselves. We could never earn those blessings. What does Jesus say? I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter. Even as Jesus was going to the cross, immediately before going to the death of the cross, this is when He says those words. Jesus Himself would ask the Father to send the Comforter. And His Father would never deny Him what He asked for, what Jesus Christ Himself asked for. His Father and He are one. Certainly what Jesus would ask for, the Father would give. But remember then that Jesus Himself was going to the cross to pay, to merit that for which He would ask. He was going to the cross to merit that very blessing that He was going to pray to the Father for His people. He earned that blessing then by His death on the cross. We ourselves don't deserve the Holy Spirit. We deserve to be cast out of God's presence. But Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and I'm going to pay for that very thing. He suffered the pains of hell in our place. He redeemed us from the cursing accusation of the law. And now God counts us His sons and gives us His Spirit. That's Galatians 4. Galatians 4, verse 4 and following. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus paid for that on the cross. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth His Spirit. God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's what Jesus earned for us on the cross. All the blessings of salvation, as those blessings are applied by the Spirit. And since, of course, Jesus earned the Spirit for us, He also gives the Spirit to us. That's what He promised to do. He promised over and over, I will send the Spirit. And now sitting on the throne in glory, can we doubt that Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us, is praying that we would yet receive the blessings of the Spirit? That's His gift to us. We didn't do anything to deserve such grace. God didn't look at us and think to Himself that we were more deserving of that grace. But Jesus died for that. Jesus paid for that grace. He loved us even when we were yet sinners. And based on that love, He sends the Spirit, who makes us partakers of all of Christ's benefits. Thankfully, beloved, God never changes His mind. The gift that He gives is a permanent gift. It's impossible for God to change His mind. God is an unchanging God. If He changed His mind, it would show that He didn't know what He was doing. It would be an admission of making a mistake. God doesn't change His mind. Can you imagine Christ giving up His life for such a precious gift? And then deciding to take that gift back again? No, He says, I will pray the Father. He shall give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. Not even when we stumble, beloved, and when we fall into sin, will He take away His Spirit completely from us. But in fact, what will happen for His children, He will take His children who are in the lowest of states. He will not leave us, but He will lead us to repentance so that we call upon Him again for grace and find that He is a merciful and gracious God. He gave us the Spirit to make us partakers of Christ and all of His benefits. The benefit of justification, knowing that all of our sins are put away. The benefit of sanctification, making us more and more devoted to God, to give glory to God. Christ died to give us the Spirit. And all the benefits of salvation are given us through Him. We believe, that's our confession, we believe in the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Ghost. We trust in Him because He will apply the salvation Christ has earned. He is God. He loves us. He reveals to us the truth. He applies to us the benefits of Christ. He abides with us forever, even to the end. Believe in Him. Believe in God the Father and God the Son and in God the Spirit for all of our salvation. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for the truth concerning Thy Holy Spirit. Grant, O Lord, that we may see even the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. As Thou hast loved us, may we see that we also love one another as a result of Thy work in us. And so may we give honor and glory to Thy great and holy name. Forgive our sins where we have fallen short. Lead and guide us, we pray. By Thy Spirit, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.